Well, would you characterize your life as a life of freedom or as a life of bondage? How would you say your life was at this point? You know, there's a lot of individuals who don't really think they're in any bondage at all. They don't feel like they have any bondage about them, but the truth is they can't enjoy this one God-given life that God has given them. They can't enjoy their family. They can't even enjoy being with themselves. And they think they're free. They walk as though they're free. But the truth about it is they're walking around and they literally have shackles on them. They're invisible to the naked eye, but they're walking around as though their hands are chained and maybe as their feet are chained, and they're not really enjoying this one God-given life. Would that be your life? Would you be living that type of life? Well, all throughout the pages of Scripture, it has always been and it is the will of our Heavenly Father that your life be a life of freedom. Freedom is not you doing what you want to do when you want to do it. That's not freedom at all. But freedom is the point whereby there is nothing in your life that controls you except the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no control by anxiety. There's no control by worry or stress or any of that. And yet, sadly, so many individuals live with that type of bondage in their life. If you'll take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and I want to reread verses 32 through 36 as we continue in this series on being free. Jesus had spoken to the Pharisees, and he had spoken to them about their life, and they thought they were free, but he made it very clear to them that they were in shackles. They couldn't see the shackles, but they were real nonetheless because of the sin they were in. And Jesus makes these statements in verses 32 through 36. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Before we get into this message, I want to give you just a little checkup to see how free you really are. Is there anybody in your life that you struggle forgiving? Is there any person that you really would just soon never see again the longest day you live? Is there somebody in your past that has hurt you and you keep replaying that video over and over and over and over again? Is there some situation that you've been in your life and you would to God that had never happened? It's not your fault, but you was in a situation, maybe an abusive situation, and mom and dad never has really understood the damage they've done to your life. Maybe there's a certain place you never want to go again, because that place brings back horrible memories to your life. Is there a house you never want to go to because that house maybe was where you was raised and it's not a good thing? Is there some type of environment that you just don't want to be around? And I'm not talking about but it was just an environment that brought fear and bondage into your life. As you listen to those questions I just asked you, some of you had some things conjured up in your mind. Because the truth about it is, we are shaped by everything that has happened to us in the past. Jesus made it very clear that when he came into this world and died on the cross, he came that you and I could be free. Not just free to go to heaven, not just to be saved. Jesus didn't say, "I came that you could just be saved." That's not what he said at all. He said that he came that you and I could be free and that we could have freedom. Yet so many individuals live this day and they're not free. They can't enjoy themselves and they can't enjoy their family. They can't enjoy just the company of friends because there is some bondage that hangs over their life. There is one reality that every one of us have to face if we want to be free. We have to ask this question: Father, where is the bondage that is in my life? What has happened in my life to create this bondage? And now, what can be done to remove it. This morning, I want to deal with the hindrances to freedom, because the truth about it is, in the days of Jesus, he was speaking to these descendants of Abraham, and as they listened to Jesus speak, they made an emphatic statement like so many people make. We've been Abraham's seed. We've never been enslaved. We've never been in any type of prison. And they say, Jesus, how do you say that we are in bondage? And Jesus made it very emphatic. He said, whoever sins, they're a servant to sin. They're a slave to sin. If there is some sin in your life, if there is something that somebody has done, something that has happened in your life, it is amazing how that goes on in your life. It is amazing the way your mind replays it. Let me just give you a real life example. About 3 weeks ago, I came in contact with an individual, and she shared out of the overflow of her life. Her life was one miserable wreck. And as I sat with her, she talked, and as she talked, she shared about things that had happened in her life. She was the victim of marriage and divorce. She wanted to be married. She wanted to stay married, but her husband didn't want her. She wanted to stay married to him until death, but he didn't want her, and he said, I don't want you, and he went to somebody else. And she was bleeding emotionally, and that was a bondage in her heart. And she talked about another incident in which she was sexually abused, and that was another bondage in her life. And all of her life, she's lived with the misery and the pain and the agony of all the things that have gone on in her life. And I shared with her how she could be free, and she walked through that. And I happened to see her just the other day, and she said, you know, I can enjoy being with myself again. I can enjoy being alone with me again. I can see those people that did me wrong and did me dirty. And you know, I don't hate them anymore. Wouldn't you love to have that if you are in bondage? Well, this morning, I want you to listen very carefully to this message, because it is very significant if you are in bondage. Now, you may be one that you're not in bondage. You know, your life is free, and you don't have any ill will toward anyone, and you don't have any type of bondage issues. And if so, then that's wonderful. The challenge is for you to be praying, even in this morning's message, for those who are struggling with bondage issues. But the question has to be asked is, you know, if God wants us to be free, and he does, if he has plans for us to be free, and he does, then what is it that hinders us to experience the freedom that God wants us to have? Why is it so many people do not live an exciting Christian life? Why is it so many people live down in the dumps, down in the mouth, depressed, discouraged, downhearted? What hinders so many individuals to experiencing the freedom that God wants? Well, first and foremost, we have to take care of this one, and it's this. We cannot have the freedom that God wants without a relationship with Christ. Say what you will, do what you will, but there is no way you can have a relationship or freedom that God wants you to have if you, first of all, have not confessed your sins and invited Jesus Christ into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior. And here's why. He is the one that guides you in walking through all the bondage issues of life. He is the only one that can cleanse your heart and your mind and your spirit of all the trash and the excess baggage and bondage that has been there over the years. Think about this. You try to live your life, and there's so many self-help books and so many how-to books, and yet people still live in bondage and agony and misery and all of those things, all because they've never come to realize that freedom is not found in books, it's found in a relationship. Jesus said, you shall know the what? Truth. Listen, say it with me. Jesus said, you shall know what? The truth. And the truth shall make you free. Then Jesus went on to say, I am the way, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, freedom comes through Jesus Christ. And so first and foremost, if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you're going to live in bondage. Now, how can these simple phrases, which sound like utter bondage, bring about freedom? You know, you bow your head, you say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I admit from the bottom of my heart that I am a sinner. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and be my Savior. How in the world can that bring about freedom in your life? Because that is doing what the God of the universe tells you and me to do, to repent of our sins, to turn from our sins, to invite Jesus Christ into our life. Listen, that brings the greatest freedom in your life. You know why? Because whenever you get ready to leave this world, you're not a bit afraid about where you're going. You're not a bit afraid of who has your life in the palm of their hands. And you see, the truth about it is, every one of us are sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. You don't sin just because you decided one day you wanted to sin. You're a sinner by nature. It is easy to hold unforgiveness because that's the easiest route to go. It's the easiest thing to get angry and have resentment because that's the path of least resistance. And so many of us find ourselves at some point in our life and our house is like a garbage dump. We're in bondage, there's stench and there's stink about our life, and we wonder, God, how did we get to where we are? Because first and foremost, you have to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can never be free. You will live the longest day of your life in shackles. Nobody sees them, but they're there. Nobody looks at them because they're invisible, but they're still there. You don't have someone to talk to in the depths of life. You don't have someone to turn to in the tragedies of life because you don't have a relationship with God. And this is the morning you need to come and make that right with God through Jesus Christ. You need to simply admit that you're a sinner. You know, Christ is the only one that can take care of our sins. Amen? Listen, you try to do it, you're going to end up a wretched mess because you can't forgive yourself of sin. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. But first, we need to come to a point and admit that we're sinners before a holy God. But second of all, another hindrance that we face is this. We can't be free as long as we have attitudes of anti-bondage in our mind and in our heart. You know, another great hindrance to experiencing freedom is this. There is a feeling that there's no bondage. Who is there that you don't like because of unforgiveness? Bondage. Who is there that you'd rather not see because of what they've done to you? Bondage. Who is there that has hurt you in your past and you just soon not talk about it? Bondage. You see, here's the reality. You can never be free unless you own up to the bondage in your life. You can never be free as long as you never own up to the unforgiveness and the resentment and the anger and the ill will. You can never be free of that bondage. You can never be free of those abuses that have taken place. It doesn't matter what anybody has done to your life. You say, you just don't understand. I've been violated sexually. Listen, when you forgive that person, God does something in your life. And I know because I've talked to numbers who have talked about forgiving the person who violated them. You see, if you never own up to the bondage in your life, here's what you'll do. You'll come into service, you'll leave service, come into service, leave service, and your life will always be bondage after bondage after bondage. It's not bad to admit that you've got unforgiveness to somebody. It is not bad to admit that you have ill will towards somebody. It is not even bad to admit you hate somebody. You say, well, I can't admit that. Why? Listen, Jesus said, when you know the truth sets you free. What about that person who absolutely did you wrong and did you in, did you dirty? They may not even know about it. But you see, what happens is this. I don't have any problems. And let me tell you this. Men are the world's worst. You know why? Because we feel like we'll be out of control. We feel like, you know, things aren't. Every man in this place, every woman in this place, you as a young boy and a young girl, a little boy, a little girl, someday, sometime back in your past. There was a time in your life, you know who it was that shunned you and ignored you and treated you wrong. You say, well, that's just the way I grew up. Tell your deep, deep soul about that. You don't believe it. And you see, the truth about it is, you know, as long as you live as though you don't have any bondage in your life, then there'll be no freedom. And that's what we do a lot of times. We trick ourselves behind the sad face of every born-again believer that cannot smile, there is something that has happened in your past that you don't want to open up about. You say, now, Pastor, you can't say that. Oh, yes, I can. I've been in this long enough to know I've seen enough to know. Two questions let me ask you that may even create bondage right now. What do you think about your dad? What do you think about your mom? I don't want to talk about my dad. Bondage. Don't want to talk about my mom. You see what we do? Two people in life that are supposed to love us and care for us and nurture us and give us their unconditional love as mom and dad. And you see, when they don't give it, what's wrong with me? Am I not important? And on and on and on it goes. Listen, sadly, so many believers, they'll walk to their graves, and you may be one of them. They'll walk to their graves sad, not having to be that way, feeling dejected, not needing to be that way, but it's happened. And it is happening because of a mindset of anti-bondage. I never will forget my mother's words to me one time, and I'll just be transparent and tell you. When I was a young boy, teenager, my mother said to me this. She said, "Son, you walk around like you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders." What she didn't know was I thought I really did. She had no idea all the stuff that was in my heart. All the things. And the thing about it is every one of us are a human being. And you feel like you've carried the weight of the world in your life. That's not what the Father wants. He wants us to be free. He wants us to enjoy this one God-given life. Look at number three. We can't be free as long as we read the Bible for information. You know, so many believers, and you may be guilty of this, but here's what we do. We attend church, we come to church, and we open the Bible, and we listen. And you know, you decide to listen to a message the first 2 minutes you sit and listen. And then all of a sudden our mind goes someplace else. You know, we get distracted. You've already thought about the picnic today. You've already thought about many other things today. You've thought about going home and doing this. And you've thought about taking a nap this afternoon. And here's why. That's the way our mind works. And there's nothing wrong with that. But listen to me very carefully. When it comes to the Word of God, do you read the Word of God as though it's Heavenly Father speaking to you? It's a loving Heavenly Father giving you counsel, you direction for your life. And here's what happens. You know, believers ought to be joyful individuals. Amen? You know, there's something about, we've been saved, we're going to heaven, and we have Christ in our earthly life. Listen, shouldn't there be something exciting about our life in the here and now? But look at our lives. Look at the average believer. Sometime do a case study in your life and observe people you know that are Christians. Watch them. Why? Why are we where we are? Why are most believers where they are? And here's the simple reality. We read the Bible and we read it for information, not for personal application. And, you know, one verse that set me free in my own life, Ephesians 4:32. And I just put my name in front of it. Dear Benny, be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Now, Lord, you told me to forgive. Everybody should forgive. We ought to forgive. We've heard that. I want to ask you, have you forgiven everybody of what they've done to you? Have you done it? Have you forgiven? You see, that's why you're in misery. That's why you're in pain. And you see, you and I can spend day after day reading the Bible for information, and I know people who are very intelligent in the Word of God. They can name you so many different aspects of Scripture, but they miss the principles. They miss the points. Listen, this is not just a book for information. This is a book for application. Scripture says, James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Am I to live forgiving everybody who hurts me? Yes or no? Yes. Are you to do the same thing? Do you do it? Don't answer that one. Let me tell you why. talking to a person who was in my office not too awfully long ago. I really had some hard times with somebody. I said, do you know you need to forgive them? Yes. Would you like to forgive them? Yes. Do you know how to forgive them? No. You see, we know information, but application. And you see, it's not just for information. That is, you know, so many people know passages and scriptures and can memorize. But what's the point? And you see, the truth about it is, you know, Jesus says in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. He's not saying that just so you can prove how many verses you've read, but freedom comes in applying the word of God. Jesus said it this way, when you know the truth, truth sets you free. Listen, it's not just owning a whole bunch of Bibles. When you do it, when you forgive somebody else of what they've done, you're free. When you forgive that person who's belittled you, when you forgive that parent who's beat you half to death when you was just a child, when you forgive that mother who withheld her love from you and never even said, I love you, the longest day that she lived, when you forgive that person who hurt you, maybe a fellow church member, and you say, Father, I don't know if they meant to do me wrong or not, but I choose to forgive them because you've forgiven me. You say, can you do it? Is that that easy? Yes, it is. But it's a choice. And you see, here's what we do. Well, why are we in such a miserable wreck? Because we read the Bible for just information. I love what I heard one pastor say one time and it stuck with me. He said, the first time I pick the Bible up in the morning, I always say, Father, this is what you're saying to me. It's not to get a sermon up or to get a Bible study up. I wish I could tell you how long the Bible, because of my life, was cold and dull and dry. And I'll tell you why. I picked it up to get a message. I picked it up to get a Bible study. But when I started opening the Bible up, and that's why I love to read the Living Bible, because it's on my level. It's written on an eighth grade level, so it's on my level. That's why I love to read the Living Bible. And I read it. I've got it on my computer, and wherever I go, it goes with me. And I read it. That's why I tell you, you need a contemporary translation. I love the King James. I preach out of the King James, but we don't talk in the King James Version anymore. We talk in common terms. Let me give you an example. Men, if you said to your wives or to your girlfriends, honey, I love you with the bowels of my compassion, she'd take that as an insult, but that's the way they talk. That's the way it was. That's the way they wrote. Now, my point is this. The Father wants you free. You know why? Because you can't enjoy this life that God has intended. And you see, we can't be what God... If you read the Bible just for information, when you pick the Bible up, listen, let me challenge you for 7 days, every one of you, for 7 days, for the next 7 days, do this. Read the Bible every morning for 7 days, but the first thing you say, Father, what do you say to me right now through your word? I guarantee you, you will run back to that Bible the second morning and the third morning. You know why? He's not out to give you a long Bible study. He is out to speak to you, to comfort you, to guide you, and you'll sit there and you'll read it, and sometimes there'll be things you need to do. You have to just sort of pull yourself. Why? Because you have a loving Heavenly Father. We have a loving Heavenly Father that loves to speak to us. But the hindrance to freedom is reading the Bible for information. Well, number four, we can't be free as long as we hold to the teaching of others above the truth of Scripture. One of the sad things that happens in our life is we run the Word of God by, well, now, I don't know. Mom didn't teach that. Dad didn't teach that. And listen, Jesus said, it's when you know the truth. Now, a lot of times we were taught by parents and grandparents, and I'll never forget in my early pastoring days, I was going to preach on this text. You know, I was going to preach on the end of time. I was going to preach on the second coming of Christ. And, you know, let me challenge you. You know, it's said that when the Lord comes, you won't be able to tell the winter from the summer, spring from the fall. It's said, isn't it? How many of you have heard that said? Raise your hand. A lot of us have. And I was going to preach on that, and my mother very wisely said, son, where are you taking your text from? She didn't say not to preach it. She just asked me, said, where are you taking your text? And I hadn't thought I was going to preach because I'd heard so many people talk about it. Surely it was in the Word. It's not there. Now listen to me real carefully. You'll be amazed how much you've heard said it's in the Bible, and it ain't there. You'll be amazed as you read the Word, how much of love and grace and goodness and kindness and wonderful things the Father has in store for your life. And because here's what happens. The devil can't keep God from moving in your life. Here's what he does. He keeps you from getting in because this is a study book. This is, and hear the word study. And that just immediately causes a lot of us to recoil. This is a book of a heavenly Father. And see, when we listen to the teachings of other people, that's why you always need to compare. Well, what's my pastor preaching against the truth of the Word? I mean, I want to compare it. And you see, what happens is we hold to other people. Well, you know, there's some things you just can't forgive. There's just, you know, some things in life you just hold on to. Who said? I want to ask you and challenge you. I want to ask you answer this question in your own life. Are you going to hold to the teachings of somebody above the teachings of Jesus? In my early 20s, I found out that I'd heard some good things, but they weren't consistent with the truth. I'd heard some things taught, but they weren't in line with the truth. That's why you need to be in the Word. And you see, God's plan for your life is freedom. But so many believers live in bondage, and you know what happens? We get that idea. That's why so many people say this, well, I'm going to wait and become a Christian when I get old. That way I don't want to get tied down to church. I don't know about you, but I just love this place. You know, you come and we talk throughout the week. This is just a wonderful place to hang out. There's the presence of the peace of God and just that the simple environment of being around God's people. And yet so many people misunderstand that. You know, we can't be free as long as we hold the truths of others. You need to ask yourself, has my dad, my mom taught me something that's not in line with Scripture? And then lastly, we can't be free as long as we don't know the truth of who we really are in Christ. Let me ask you this. Do you know who you really are in the eyes of Jesus? Now, chances are you might say something like this. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What else? You see, the truth about it is we struggle knowing how Jesus really views us. Have you ever stopped to think Jesus is absolutely enamored with loving you? I don't mean just as text, but I mean to show you how he'll do it. Not only to love you, but as a proof of that love, listen, when you love somebody, don't you show proof of it? Sure you do. Ladies, you love your husbands. And so what do you say? Honey, what do you want for supper? I want to fix you something good. You know, sometimes be a long day and a lot of things going on and hospital visits and things happening here in the life of the church. And Charlotte will say, now, what is it you want good for supper? Why? Because she wants to say to me, honey, I love you. I want to fix you something good for supper. You know what the Father loves to do, what Jesus loves to do? Listen to this one word. Hang on to it. He loves to show. S-H-O-W. You say, why? That's just who he is. He's in love with you. And you see, the truth about it is, he wants you to be free. You know why? Because let me give you an example. You're in bondage and you've got all sorts of stress and anxiety and you have a stress attack and a panic attack, and then where do you have to go? Hospital. You go to the hospital and things aren't expensive or things aren't cheap. You go there and you get a bill and all of a sudden you realize all this stress and anxiety in your life, and you're paying for your hospitalization, and then you're paying your copay, and then you're paying all these other things. You're paying 15 doctors and you only saw one. Why? Because the freedom that's not in your life. Now you say, oh, Pastor, you know, you're always going to have to go to the doctor. Yes, listen, but statistics do reveal so many individuals find themselves sick because of stress. Listen, do you want to be sick because of stress when you can be free? You can live a free life that the Father intended for your life. Listen, the Bible says in the sight of God, He loves you unconditionally. So if I have a loving Heavenly Father and He loves me unconditionally, He is going to do whatever He needs to provide for my life because that's love. Listen, all of us, we always weren't obedient to our parents. But did your parents ever deprive you of food and shelter because you disobeyed? They didn't tell you to go out and stand in the rain just because you were disobedient. No, they still provided shelter. And listen, we have a loving Heavenly Father, and most of us, we God, please give me a crumb or two. That's not the way you are in the sight of the Father. You're children of the Most High God. As we realize we're children of the Most High God, we're loved by Him, and He has already provided every need you have. You've heard me say it over and over again, but I'll tell you what happens when you really apply it. Father, You said You was going to meet my needs, so I'm just going to ask You to provide. You know I need this and this and this, and so I'm just leaving it in Your hands. I love the life of George Mueller. George Mueller was one who ran orphanages in England. He had a number of children that were in his orphanages. He never asked a person for a penny, but for every penny that came into his orphanage, he prayed for. He prayed in better than $9 million to the orphanages because he knew the Father loved him and loved those children and would provide. Personal assets, he didn't have much. But here's what he knew. I have a loving Father. Now think about it a minute. Use your mind. If Jesus provides everything, died on the cross and gave His life blood, what is there that He won't give you, provide for you, do in your life? And you see, the Bible says He loves to bestow His goodness and kindness, mercy. You know why we struggle with that? How many people live around you that just love to show kindness to you? Love to just be good to you? Love to just show mercy to you? We don't have that in this world, but that's our Heavenly Father. And if that's what He loves to do to us, when you understand that's what He does, you'll do that to others. We do it to others. But you see, if you don't have a relationship with Him through Christ, you're going to forever be missing out. Maybe you're saved and you just think, God don't like me. I've done some bad things in my life. You know, the wonderful word of God is if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can have a life of freedom, but here's the reality. God won't decide for you. He won't decide for you. He gives you freedom to make your decisions. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You have in store for Your people freedom. Complete, absolute, wonderful, unequivocal freedom. That's the truth of the Word of God. Because You said it, Jesus. It breaks your heart when you see a single Christian living in bondage. It breaks your heart when you see a Christian missing the best because of bondage. And Lord, when we realize that, no telling what will happen. Because that's the truth of the Word of God. Pray for that person who needs to come this morning, trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord, as their Savior. Pray for that person who needs to come, rededicating their life or moving their life into this fellowship. Have Your will and Your way. In Jesus we pray.